Well, hello everyone, and thank you for joining us today for the sermon for the Feast of Trumpets 2019. My name is Tom Lane, and I'm coming to you from El Paso, Texas, a beautiful city here on the Southwest that I've called home for almost 40 years. In my previous years, I've been a student at Ambassador University in both Pasadena and Big Sandy. More recently, working as a special education teacher and coordinator for one of the larger school districts here in El Paso, Texas. I retired a few years ago, and one of the reasons why I decided to add sermons to Sabbath Bible Study at this time is there's simply a lapse of available sermons on the internet. So here we are, it's a Monday, it's the day of the week most people go to work, and here we are as Christians observing the Christian Feast of Trumpets. And one of the first thoughts that might come to people's minds is, how do we go about explaining holy days to others? I've known people to become very defensive in trying to explain their beliefs. I've heard people go up to other people and say, well, I have to take this day off because it is a religious holy day. And that's perfectly okay to explain it that way. But I guess the first thing we want to think about as we might be explaining holy days and our beliefs to other people is exactly how and when do we need to provide information to others, and how and when do we need to litigate for what we believe in. And I've always believed that it's okay to share information with other people using very light terminology that will be easy for others to understand. And so typically what I've always done is simply explain to other people that I'm taking a day off because I have a religious holiday or I have a religious observance. And that's terminology that a lot of other people are very comfortable with, that other people can understand and work with and make decisions in their mind. I've used the term religious holy day when I've needed to defend my decisions with employers and other people for whatever reason. And so I've always thought that it's important as we explain ourselves and our beliefs to other people that we do take in mind that other people may view things a lot differently than we see things. And so we always want to be very kind in our workings with other people. That's one of the reasons why at the bottom of all of my Bible studies, I always put this little line that says, to all who may believe differently, I also extend peace and love. Because I'm here to share information about the Word of God. I may offend others because there is going to be a difference in what we see, what we believe, but I think I can do so in a very respectful and caring manner. So here we are, it's the Feast of Trumpets, the Christian Feast of Trumpets. And so for people who may not understand why we're here, what we're doing, what we observe, let's take a look at the history of the Feast of Trumpets. And the Feast of Trumpets begins with a command back in the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 23, beginning with verse 23. And I like to use the King James Version of the Bible. One, there is no copyright here in the United States, and most other versions do have a copyright. And I'd rather avoid copyright issues, you know, with a Bible publisher. So let's take a look at Leviticus 23, beginning with verse 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. So here we have the blowing of trumpets. And when we think of blowing trumpets today in 2019, we think of some really cool jazz performance. But back thousands and thousands of years ago, the trumpet signified something much different. It wasn't part of a musical performance. It wasn't part of a marching band. The blowing of trumpets was used as a warning. Back in ancient Israel, they had no metal trumpet, so they used a sheep's horn called a shofar. And that shofar was blown for various reasons. And one of those reasons was it was a call to war. It was a call of warning. And when the shofar was blown, people took notice. And so the fact that we are as Christians observing this Feast of Trumpets is a symbol, a warning to others of what is coming. This day is a holy day, and we'll learn that it is a day of significant prophecy of what is going to happen for God's people here on earth. In Joel, beginning in chapter 2 and in verse 1, it is written, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for the nigh is at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations." And so again, with this particular verse, we see an incredible warning, an alarm. And that is what the Feast of Trumpets is for us. The Feast of Trumpets is an alarm. And wherever we look around this world today, we see alarms. We can see issues with the climate. Whether you believe in climate change or global warming, that's not the purpose of today's sermon. But we see concerns with what's happening with our climate. We see the ice caps melting. We see hurricanes in the Atlantic, the Pacific. We see typhoons over in the Asian areas. We see cyclones in the Indian Oceans. Horrible storms. We see earthquakes. And all of these are simply the very beginning of sorrows. And so on this Feast of Trumpets, we are sounding an alarm for not only the people of God, but for the people of the world, so that everyone can clearly reflect that the day of the Lord is coming. And it's going to be a day of dark and gloominess. It's not going to be, for many, the big happy event that they think of when Jesus returns. So we're going to be looking a little bit more at that today. When we think of the term trumpets, we think also of the seven trumpets of the book of Revelation. So why don't we begin by also taking a look at the book of Revelation in chapter 8. We'll take a look at Revelation 8, and we'll also take a look at Revelation 9, because these are the chapters that talk a lot about, well, the trumpets. So beginning with verse 1 of chapter 8, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour." So I want you to think about times when there was a horrible event that happened. You know, recently in El Paso, there was a horrible mass shooting where too many people died and too many people were injured because somebody who lived in another part of Texas drove 10 hours and didn't like people from El Paso. And there was a lot of pause in our community to grieve for those who lost their lives, for those who were injured, and for the incredible hurt that came upon our community. When we think of devoting a minute or a moment of silence, really that's all that's given, is a moment of silence. Here is a half hour. A half hour is an incredible amount of time. if I kept on recording but didn't say anything for half an hour, you would tune out and you would go do something else. So a half hour of silence is an incredibly long time, and it's an incredibly long time to signify the seriousness of the events that are coming upon mankind. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God in verse 2, and to them were given seven trumpets. Again, these weren't part of some jazz band or marching band. These were angels of God here to sound an alarm. And we'll see that the alarms they sound become progressively more intense. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. So as God is getting ready to allow these trumpet plagues on mankind, he is very well aware of the prayers of the saints. And people who study the Bible know that saints aren't necessarily the holy people that are off in heaven or separated by God. And they're really just people who are everyday people who have committed themselves to living God's way of life. In verse 5, and the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it upon the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And so if you're here on earth and you all of a sudden see a violent thunderstorm, if you hear these voices coming out of the heavens, and then everything follows up with this massive earthquake, that's probably going to get your attention. And this isn't the final act. This is really just the prelude to the seven trumpets. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. Verse 7. The first angel sounded, and there followed hell and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Well, if you've been living on this earth for years and years and years, you've probably lived through a hailstorm or two. Here in El Paso, back about 10 years ago, I lived through a hailstorm. The hailstorm kicked out golf ball size hail and larger. Courtesy of that hailstorm, I got a brand new roof. I got new skylights. I got a new garage door. I had a lot of work done around my house because of that hailstorm, and thankfully the insurance company paid for it all, minus the deductible. But I still remember being huddled in one of the rooms with a parrot that I had at the time, and since that time my parrot baby has died. But my parrot looked at me, we were looking out the window, we see these hailstorms coming down, and my parrot looks at me and says, "I don't want to die." And in this giant hailstorm, people will look at each other and say that they do not want to die. We look at the trees that were burnt up and all the green grass that was burnt up. Forest fires seem to be on the rise this year up in Alaska. Thousands and thousands and thousands of acres burnt up. Down in the Amazon rainforest again, thousands and thousands and thousands of acres of rainforest burning up. And it's a very scary event when you're caught in the middle of a firestorm. The scenes of people racing through a firestorm to try and escape in their car is some of the scariest I've ever seen in my life. When we take a look at the green grass being burnt up, that's something we experience here in El Paso because of the heat. If you don't water your grass on a regular basis during our hot, dry, desert summer weather, the grass dries up and burns up. And so that's just the very first part of what's happening for us in the seven trumpet plagues. And then we get to the second trumpet plague. The second angel sounded, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. So, visually, if you think of a big flaming mountain crashing into the sea, what comes to mind immediately is something like an asteroid. A giant asteroid that didn't disintegrate upon entry to our atmosphere, and it crashed into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. Basically meaning that a third part of the sea became uninhabitable. Imagine what losing one third of our sea life would do for our very fragile ecosystem here on Earth. That'll parlay into a lot of other troubles in other areas here on planet Earth. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. So, this massive asteroid slamming into the sea is not only going to destroy the animals that live in the sea, the fish, the whales, the dolphins, the sharks. It's going to also, probably through some tsunami effect, damage and destroy a third of the ships. Whatever comes here in the future is a very significant cosmic event. If you're alive on planet Earth when this happens, you're not going to miss this one. And this is one of the warnings that this day talks about. We're observing the Christian Feast of Trumpets. This is one of the trumpet warnings. Moving on to verse 10 of chapter 8 of the book of Revelation. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many died of the waters because they were made bitter. So again, another cosmic event. When people think of a star coming out of the heavens, sometimes they think of an asteroid, sometimes they think of a comet colliding with the Earth. And again, what happens in this area, it sounds like in this case, this particular cosmic event impacts where the headwaters come from because it talks of the waters and the third part of the rivers. And the rivers and the waters, those typically flow from the mountain areas of the continents. And so we have an event impacting the water in the ocean. We have another event impacting the water and the fresh water on the land. Verse 12, and the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the like, and the night likewise. And so here we're talking about solar eclipses. We're talking about lunar eclipses. And we're talking about, well, something that's totally darkens the stars from shining their light down to the surface of the Earth. And so with all of these events that happen in order, the asteroid slamming into the ocean, another asteroid, possibly a comet, slamming into the headwater areas of Earth, we not only get the event of possibly a solar and lunar eclipse, but there's a lot of atmospheric debris, dirt, that gets knocked up. Maybe it's the light that gets blocked from the dirt. The sunlight can't shine through. The moonlight can't shine through because of all of this debris kicked up by these asteroids. And then, moving on to verse 13. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound." And then we simply move on to the ninth chapter of the book of Revelation. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. As Christians who listen to God, who are observing the Christian Feast of Trumpets, we sure hope that at this time we will have the seal of God in our foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. A good amount of time. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. So most of the time, when a scorpion strikes, and we have scorpions here in El Paso, they're not going to kill you. Unless you happen to have some sort of extreme allergy to their toxin. Most scorpions will give you a very nasty wound that will hurt very badly. And in this case, it'll be like having 5 months of that hurt time and time and time again without end. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. So this is such a bad time that people want to die, and yet the reality is they simply won't be able to die. And the shape of the locusts were like unto the horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the sounds of their wings was as the sounds of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Again, men won't be dying, they're just going to be hurting very badly. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and again sounding with a trumpet, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, "Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates." And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. So here, the sixth angel, we know that a third of mankind is going to die. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. That's a huge number. And I heard the number of them. Because when you have 200,000, you're looking at a huge sound of the people as they're moving around, as they're marching. And I saw the horses in this vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and of brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as of the heads of lions. And out of the mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And by these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of their works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. So given all of these warnings, coupled with supernatural events that you simply could not miss, simply could not ignore, people chose to continue to do what they wanted to do. They chose not to repent. And repenting means to change what you have done that was wrong and doing instead what is right. And so that is what the world is going to be doing as we look at this future time that is commemorated through this Feast of Trumpets. But what is it we, as God's people, His church, are going to be doing? Let's take a look at what Paul wrote in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So, in this future kingdom of God, we are not going to be physical beings. We have to first die or be changed and become spirit to inherit this kingdom of God. Look at verse 51. Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So for those who have died in the faith, maybe they have been dead for a few days, a few weeks, a few months, or a few years. Or maybe they have been dead for hundreds or thousands of years. In their recollection, in their reckoning of consciousness, from one moment to the next, in a twinkling of an eye, as they would reckon it, they have been changed from physical to spirit, because when you're dead, you have no comprehension of the passage of time. When you die and you're in the grave, you are not aware of time. You're simply awaiting your resurrection. And so for the dead, it is like a twinkling of an eye in a moment. They change from physical to spiritual, even though hundreds, thousands of years may have passed. For those who are alive, who haven't died at the return of Jesus Christ, in an instant, our bodies will be changed from physical bodies to spirit bodies, and we too will be spirit. For this corruptible, in verse 53, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So we have to become spirit before we can inherit the kingdom of God. So when this corruptible shall have put on the incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, what we do in service to God, what we do sacrificing what could be available to us because we choose to obey God first, is not in vain. We will have this future change in our life when we become spirit beings. But there's something we need to consider moving towards that future time. Let's take a look at Matthew 25, beginning with verse 31. We know that Jesus will return, and we know when he returns, we will be changed into spirit beings. But Matthew 25, verse 31 says this, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So the big aha for us is we want to make sure that we are separated as the sheep and not the goats. And here's how we get separated as the sheep. Verse 35, for I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. And then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of these, the least my brethren, you have done it unto me. And so we think about the people around us in our daily life who are maybe disenfranchised, separated, isolated, in need. Part of our pathway forward to being separated as sheep is to make sure that we are not ignoring those who are in need. We make sure that we help them with whatever area of need they may have. And of course, we help them as we have ability to help them. Comparing the sheep to the goat, beginning in verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, the lake of fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in, naked, and you clothed me not, sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? And he shall answer them, saying, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So, where do you want to be at this future time? Do you want to be a sheep? Do you want to be a goat? When we see people in need, as we are able, we must take care of them. That is the separating point between sheep and goat, and whether or not we will become the righteous who enter into life eternal. We've been talking about the Feast of Trumpets. We talk about how this comes about after enduring some incredibly cosmic events. Let's take a look at Matthew 24, beginning with verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So again, with the sound of a trumpet, memorialized by this Feast of Trumpets, we know that we will be gathered together as God's elect at this future time. We know that it will be immediately after the Great Tribulation that we will be gathered together. And at this future time, what will we see? Let's take a look at Revelation 19, beginning in verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So we see this future image of Jesus Christ on a white horse. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we know at this future time, after all this happens, that there will be this future event. So exactly when will this future time come about in our life? The reality is nobody knows when that's going to happen. I think anybody could look around with a reasonable amount of certainty and think that we are living in the last days. There's too many weird things happening around the world that just seem way out of place and much different than they've ever been before. Let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Thieves who come at night don't announce themselves. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Peace and safety. Much like when Neville Chamberlain said, we have peace in our time, that preceded pretty much the Second World War. But ye brethren are not in the darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Because we are God's children, we have a better understanding of what's coming. And we have a better understanding of what's coming in part because we not only have God's Holy Spirit, but we understand the need and the importance of keeping the holy days, including the Feast of Trumpets. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that must be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye also do. So, because we are God's, we have knowledge of what is coming. And we need to keep each other encouraged for this future time. So as we celebrate this Feast of Trumpets, we should know that there is this great, wonderful, potential time in our future. Let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians 14, beginning with verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall be ever with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And so I guess it comes down to a final thought. Jesus gave a parable, which is recorded for us in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. Maybe this was meant as a rhetorical thought, or maybe it was provided to us as a warning, but I thought it would be an appropriate way for us to end our thought and our sermon for the Feast of Trumpets. Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. So this was a lady who never gave up. And her constant interactions with this judge was tiring him. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? So God does not ignore our problems. God does not turn a blind ear to the difficulties we have. When we are in pain, when we have financial difficulties, when we suffer loss, when we feel fear, when we are panicked, God is there with us. He knows what we are going through. Verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That's the rhetorical question for us to think about as we conclude the sermon today on the Feast of Trumpets. When Jesus comes on this future day, the Feast of Trumpets, will he find faith on the earth? And when Jesus is looking for faith on the earth, he's talking about faith among his people. Remember, on this Feast of Trumpets, no matter how bad things get, no matter how alone you feel, no matter what your financial difficulties are, your sicknesses are, your illnesses, God understands our needs. He will not ignore us. And in living a life of faith, where every day we cry out to God, we affirm our commitment to God that when Jesus does return to earth, that he will find faith on the earth. Thank you for joining us today for this sermon on the Feast of Trumpets. I look forward to visiting with you again next time.